following program is intended for mature audiences.
Get off the babysitter. Put on your pants. Come out with your hands up.
Savino Veritas. Live from Burbank, California.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tom Savino from Savino Veritas coming to you live from Burbank, California this Thursday evening. Tonight, Finding Memo. Will we find the truth? We will find the truth at Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. The fine wine of select gripes. Tonight, Jimmy Kimmel, Stormy Daniels, Frankly Spinatra, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Bill Maher, Samantha Bee, the Amazon jungle of Whole Foods, and the original song, Corporado. Enjoy. Tuesday, January the 30th was a day of infamy in broadcasting, including the so-called State of the Union address, or I call it the State of the Disunion address, by our so-called president. Also, as a broadcaster, I could attest to failures. Best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. And such was the case with Jimmy Kimmel last night, whose best laid plans really failed. He tried to get some Trump supporters together with DACA people, just see how wonderful DACA people were. We're going to maybe play a little bit of that this episode. That failed totally. And his most significant best laid plans was, the best laid plans was having Stormy Daniels on her show. What's so bad about that? Nothing, except that Stormy Daniels is under the legal limitations of a non-disclosure agreement, so it doesn't make for a great guest. And we're going to play that now with a little bit of our Savino Veritas commentary. Jimmy Kimmel and Stormy Daniels.
Savino Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The gripes of wrath.
Our next guest has a unique perspective on the President of the United States, one that I don't have for sure. She is an actor and director who either did or did not receive $130,000 to be or not be here tonight. Please welcome Stormy Daniels. Thank you for being here. I had a pretty clear idea of what I wanted to ask you tonight, but then about like 3 hours ago, I go on the internet and I see this letter that pops up. It says, official statement of Stormy Daniels, to whom it may concern. Over the past few weeks, I've been asked countless times to comment on reports of an alleged sexual relationship I had with Donald Trump many, many, many years ago. The fact of the matter is that each party to this alleged affair denied its existence in 2006, 2011, 2016, 2017, now again in 2018. I am not denying this affair because I was paid hush money, as has been reported in overseas-owned tabloids, the Wall Street Journal. I am denying this affair because it never happened. I will have no further comment on this matter. Please feel free to check me out on Instagram at @TheStormyDaniels.
I can answer none of your questions at this time.
Maybe they'll delete that one, too.
Now, here's what I want to know.
Although that's not the craziest thing I've read about myself on the internet today.
This is what fascinates me. Your original statement, the signature on the original statement does not match the signature on this statement.
I'll object to that, Your Honor.
What in the hell are you talking about?
My feelings exactly.
And I went through my library of photographs of you.
Old habits die hard.
To compare it. Two headshots that you have signed, and these seem to match the original statement. And
wow,
am I getting at anything? Did you sign this letter that was released today?
I don't know. Did I?
Oh, you are the sly one.
Wait a minute. That you can say, right?
I can answer none of your questions at this time.
Like my signature, does it?
It doesn't look like your signature. So you're saying perhaps This letter was written and released without your approval.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Do you know where it came from? Do you have any idea?
I do not know where.
You do not know where it came from. So you
deny. It came from the internet.
So you did not have anything to do with this.
I also work for the FBI, and I'm a man, according to the internet today.
Is that right?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to do a full examination and figure that out. So, do you think the president is watching right now?
If I may be so blunt, who gives a shit?
I like to imagine him.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
I don't want to imagine him.
Well, you don't have to imagine him. I mean, so I like to imagine him, though, like lying in his bed with cheeseburger wrappers just all over the place. And he's like, oh, I was so great at the State of the Union tonight. And then he turns on the TV and he's like, oh, no, Stormy, why are you on that talk show when you could be here in bed with me? Having the most fantastic lovemaking of your entire life.
I'm glad I didn't put food on my rider in my dressing room.
All right, was it that unpleasant of an experience?
It's an unpleasant picture you're painting there.
I can answer none of your questions at this time.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's fascinating. I know you either do or don't have a non-disclosure agreement, which, if you didn't have a non-disclosure agreement, do you have a non-disclosure agreement?
Do I?
Oh, you are the sly one.
You can't say whether you have a non-disclosure agreement, but...
No question about that.
If you didn't have a non-disclosure agreement, you most certainly could say, I don't have a non-disclosure agreement. Yes?
You're so smart, Jimmy.
Thank you very much.
I'm smart, not like everybody says. Like, dumb, I'm smart, and I want respect.
Okay, so... There was an interview, of course you know about this, in In Touch magazine in 2011. Did you do that interview?
Is this your final answer?
Not as it is written.
Not as it is written. But they did release a transcript of what you said. Is that transcript incorrect?
I honestly haven't seen the whole transcript.
You haven't?
No, I'm too scared to look at it.
Let's go through it.
No, let's not.
You're at a golf tournament, Lake Tahoe. You notice Trump looking at you on the course. He approached you in the gift room. He asked for your number.
How you doing?
Asked you to have dinner with him.
Well, I've seen the worst. The dregs, but you. You are the lowest. Makes me sick to breathe the same air.
You told him you would meet him in his room. He asked you to meet him in his room. You assumed you'd be going out to dinner. When you got there, he was in pajama pants.
Show me the money.
He asked you a lot of questions about the business side of the adult film industry.
I thought this was a talk show, not a horror movie.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh.
He told you you were very smart, which seems to be true.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
Yeah.
True, and you should be on The Apprentice. You said, no, you're not going to be able to get me on The Apprentice. He said, I can get you on The Apprentice.
Hello, Master.
You engaged in textbook generic sex.
Oh, my God.
He did not use protection.
I mean, we just do nothing to protect ourselves.
Afterwards, he told you he wanted to see you again and asked you to sign a copy of one of your DVDs.
I don't care.
Well, he does have good taste, I guess.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh.
He kept calling you for months after that. You had dinner with him at the Beverly Hills Hotel. While you were there, he was watching Shark Week. This detail is so, like, I mean, if they did make this up.
Everyone loves Shark Week. That's not even, admit it.
You're like right. You're right. You said he's obsessed with and terrified of sharks.
Aren't we all?
Well, not necessarily obsessed with, but yes, most of us are scared of sharks. And that night he told you he couldn't get you on The Celebrity Apprentice. Is any of that true?
I can answer none of your questions at this time.
Define true.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh.
So, do you feel like you're a victim in any sense?
Is this your final answer?
Lately, yes.
Lately, you do. Yes. A victim of whom?
The internet.
Of the internet. Yeah,
yes.
You're reading things people are writing about you.
I'm trying not to.
And it upsets you. What did you think when Donald Trump brought those three women who accused Bill Clinton of sexual misdeeds to the debate in 2016? Did that seem odd to you, particularly odd to you?
Odd? No, dirty, yes. And it's I know dirty. A lot about dirty, and even I wouldn't do that.
I was hoping you'd give me a bath. Very, very dirty.
We can clean it, we can scrub it, we can do lots of different things.
It seemed very dirty. Yeah. And does that make you feel like... Like, appearing on this show, your manager sent an email and said, would you like to have Stormy on the show? I was like, yeah, we would love to have Stormy on the show. Of course we would love to have her. Do you feel any guilt at all about discussing this, even though we're not specifically talking about the details of what did or didn't happen, but it actually did happen. But do you feel any guilt? Like, do you feel guilt... toward Melania? Do you feel
I feel guilt towards my family.
You
because
feel...
my daughter and stuff has been exposed to things that, you know...
That you didn't
like
want
I said,
her.
Like I said, they're just making up random things on the internet. Like, if my daughter was old enough to read the internet, which she's not, she would have found out today that her mom is actually her dad.
Believe it or not.
You said in the interview that you could describe in detail Donald Trump's junk. Do you use the word...
What is...
The ladies really dig these things, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
Wrong with you?
I don't know what's wrong with me. It's what is wrong with you?
Is there no one else? Is there no one else?
It was the question. We're gonna find out what's wrong with Stormy Daniels when we come back.
Look at those hands. Are they small hands? And he referred to my hands. If they're small, something else must be small. I guarantee you, there's no problem. I guarantee.
All right, he guarantees it. Stormy Daniels is here. Stormy, I'm not asking you to say anything about anything, but I got three carrots here.
They better be diamonds.
There's a carrot. There's a carrot. And there's a carrot.
Be careful, son. I can sue you.
Without any commentary, would you like to pick a carrot?
I want a big one.
Yeah, I'm used to the sparkly kind of carrots.
If you pick a carrot, you might get some of that stuff.
Oh, you're a sweet talker.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh.
No carrot? You don't want a carrot?
Who wants a carrot?
Well, they're good for your eyesight.
She's off the list.
Okay, I know you can't answer any questions.
I can answer none of your questions at this time.
It's because of this NDA that you don't have, but...
What? Oh, my.
Whoa, what? Stormy Puppet, perhaps, can answer some questions. There's the puppet that we worked on for literally hours. And look who's here with us. It's Donald in his underpants. Stormy, you look fantastic. Welcome to the golf tournament. Would you like my phone number? Maybe we could have dinner together.
You're so...
I'm the only person in the world who doesn't do Donald Trump.
I know, that's terrible.
Yeah.
You would need three promotions to get to be an asshole.
Does this at all seem familiar to you? Tidy Whiteys? Anything you want to say about this?
Oh, that's so disgusting. Oh, my God, that's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
Have you ever played the game? Oh, no, I'm going to speak to the puppet because I don't want you to get in trouble.
Okay.
Stormy Puppet.
What is wrong with you?
Have you ever played the game Never Have I Ever? You have. Is that a yes or a no? That's a yes.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Okay. Now, we're going to play a little Never Have I Ever. I'm going to ask you a few questions about various things. And you go ahead.
This don't... feels like an SVU episode.
Here it is. Now, if you have... Here's how it works. If you have done something, don't move. If you haven't done it, shake your head no. Okay? Stormy Puppet? You got to do that. Okay. All right. Here we go. Never have I ever gone skinny dipping. Okay. That means you've gone skinny dipping. Never have I ever shoplifted. Oh. Never have I ever had sex with a married man. I forgot if that's yes or no.
That was yes.
Oh, that's yes. Okay.
You suck at this game.
I'm bad at it. I know. Never have I ever had sex with a married man at a golf tournament.
Oh, you are the sly one.
Ah, good, good. Never have I ever watched Shark Week in a hotel room with the host of a reality show.
Jerk, 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 jerk.
She's not moving. Never have I ever had sex with someone who fired Gary Busey on TV.
I actually don't know the answer to that. Oops.
Oh, yeah, Donald Trump did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, so go ahead. Wait a minute, you wanted to be on Celebrity Apprentice? You never even saw it?
What? Oh, my.
Whoa, what?
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh.
By the way, if Arnold Schwarzenegger does another edition of that Celebrity Apprentice, they're going to sign you right up. I mean, there's no question about it. Well, this was an unsuccessful experiment.
Oh, that's a shame.
We'll try one more thing. We'll take a break. Stormy Daniels is here. We'll be right back. Stormy, one last thing. Have you ever made love to anyone whose name rhymes with Ronald Lump?
No question about that.
Yeah, I'll call you whatever you want me to call you, baby.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh.
Stormy Daniels, everybody. Thank you for being here.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards. With a V for victory.
Well, that was the failed interview with Jimmy Kimmel and Stormy Daniels on ABC's late night talk show with Jimmy Kimmel. And sorry, Jimmy, but that was your best laid plans.
I don't think that's funny.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh.
And but we're going to try to salvage the situation here on Sabina Veritas with the great singer Frankly Sinatra. Frankly Sinatra is going to be singing Stormy Daniels right now.
Sabina Veritas.
Total fabrication.
The Gripes of Wrath.
Hush up on old scandals.
fact is buttocks with a fool. He was bare, tried her best so not to stare, Stormy Daniels. She had him wear her shoes and sandals, and paid off big lead by the board. So bigly paid by the board. When he went away, the blues left right on with him. But each time he returned, the old stock and bonds came with him. Now she cannot say if and when she met him. The non-disclosure's worth the sum. The non-disclosure's worth the sum. Can't go on. Late night shows to give the blues. Stormy Daniels paid to cover up all the scandals. Compounding interest more and more. Compounding interest more and
Veritas is satire spelled backwards, with a V for victory.
This is the artist D from forculture.com. In Wine the Truth? I believe so. You're listening to Tom Savino on SRN1 live. But be sure to hop over to juicedtalk.com to download after this broadcast. That's juicedtalk.com. Now, Tom, pour me another glass of wine and get back on my radio.
It's the Fabulous D Show.
I'm all tied up, ready. No.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards.
Welcome to
Good evening,
Hey, Steve. How are you, man?
JuicedTalk.com.
Veritas is satire spelled backwards, with a V for victory.
Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth. This is Artist D.
And Anne Marie from Up All Night on For Culture Radio.
Have you got any wine, Anne Marie?
I'm completely intoxicated.
We love completely. To wine. We drink wine. We listen to Savino Veritas every week at juicetalk.com. Don't we love Tom?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Savino Veritas, live from Burbank, California.
This is a quote. In the Trump era, says celebrity physicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, who adds that this is the most important thing he's ever said, people, quote, have lost the ability to judge what is true and what is not.
Okay, so that sentence, that was from a video that was posted just before the Science March. That sentence did not include reference to Trump at all. that was added in that editorial. I just said, we live in a time where people have lost the ability to judge what is true and what is not. And if you want to call the pre-election era part of a Trump era, okay. But if you're looking at something on the internet and you think it's true and do not have the capacity to judge whether it's not true, that is another element, that is another ingredient in the recipe for disaster. So this Trump is a manifestation, the Trump era, where what is true and what is not is where almost that distinction is not made, where that has risen to high heights. I would claim those seeds were germinating long before. And it has to do with what people think is true after they read it on the internet. Our susceptibility to this. And here's something else. Again, I hate to sound like a broken record, if anyone remembers what a broken record is, that in K-12, somewhere in there, rather than pouring knowledge into people's heads and declaring them to be educated for having done so, somewhere in there we need to train people how to think, how to analyze, how to interpret, how to be skeptical of information, and then how to recognize when sufficient data has been put forth to turn something that you might be skeptical about into something that is a newly established objective truth. That is not taught in the schools. This should be a class just on what science is and how and why it works. And that would transcend the physics class, the chemistry class, the biology class, the geology class, the general science class. This would be its own course. So that when you are college educated and some institution has declared you graduated and a learned member of society, if you turn around and say, I choose not to believe this emergent scientific consensus, no, you don't have that option. It's not how objectively established scientific truths are determined. It is true whether or not you believe in it. And in retrospect, you think maybe that's what you should base legislation on. Not something you want to be true or feel should be true, or something that you don't allow to be true because your religion prevents it or because your political philosophy prevents it.
Be careful, son. I can sue you.
You don't have that option if it's an objectively established truth. And like I said earlier, that is the entire point of the scientific enterprise.
I'm going to have to science the shit out of this.
Humorist, writer, raconteur, mystic, and parallel parking expert, Thomas Savino.
Hey everyone, you're listening to Tom Savino with Savino Veritas in Wine the Truth, the fine wine of select gripes. And from the gripe vine tonight, we're talking about science, we're talking about everything, we're talking about immigration, we're talking about, everything that comes up. Whole Foods we're going to talk about, we already did talk about Whole Foods. I'm still hungry. It must be Chinese food. Anyway, we are going to now hear from Bill Maher, who one of my favorite satirists and very expert in what's going on politically in this country. And he had this bit last year, his New Rules segment, which is wonderful. This is from a year ago. It's actually from March of last year, but is very apropos for today still. Bill Maher from Real Time with New Rules from March of 2017.
Must admit, they hate the beach for the same reason everyone else does. You get sand in your crack. New rule, if you have a Trump bumper sticker on your Prius, we get to revoke your driver's license. Because here's who should not be behind the wheel, the terribly confused. New rule, now that the TSA rolled out new airport pat-downs that they describe as more thorough and may involve an officer making more intimate contact, They must allow tipping. And the next time an agent does this to a 13-year-old boy,
oh,
he has to sing Billie Jean is Not My Lover while he's doing it. New rule to the New York man. To the New York man who handed out racist White Lives Matter flyers, but did not start the interview by saying, I'm not a racist, but, and instead started it by saying, I consider myself a racist. Thank you. Finally, a self-aware racist. Though he ruined it for me later in the interview when he said, I consider myself a toothbrusher. New rule, the Idaho woman who last week told police that the reason she crashed into a deer was because she was distracted after seeing Sasquatch in her rearview mirror, has to answer this question. Is this your car? And finally, new rule, if you get up every day and try to make Donald Trump's ludicrous and dangerous pronouncements sound normal and sane, you are an enabler. 20 years from now, when your kids ask you over a glass of Soylent Green, what did you do during the Trump years, Daddy? You don't want your answer to be, my job was to go on TV and pretend Trump didn't say what everybody just heard him say. That is an enabler, and that word is not a compliment. We've heard it a lot with celebrities. Elvis had his Memphis Mafia. Michael Jackson had a doctor who never said, gee, Mike, your nose just fell off again. Maybe cut back on the plastic surgery. Bill Cosby could not have pulled off... Bill Cosby could not have pulled off 40 years of, oh, let's call it extreme dating, without various underlings who funneled women his way and paid them off, to say nothing of the guy who supplied the horse tranquilizers and never once said, wow, Bill, that is one nervous horse you have there. One of the great enablers of fiction is Max, the sycophantic manservant to the delusional Norma Desmond in the classic movie Sunset Boulevard, now a Broadway show, and especially timely because it's about an aging, unstable drama queen who is able to maintain a fantasy world because even though Norma Desmond is pure, around the bend, batshit nuts, like I say, timely. She has Max there. And he keeps the world, real world far out of sight. In the plot, Norma Desmond is a faded movie queen, a silent film star of the 1920s. But now she hasn't worked in 30 years, but she still thinks she's big. Because Max. Max goes into the basement every night and writes fake fan letters to fool her into thinking the people still love her. Is that really any different than this guy pretending to have intelligence that backs up what his mad boss tweeted at 3 a.m? Or the way Trump's handlers keep sending him to rallies where he only has to see the people who tell him he's doing great, just like it says on his hat. I'm sure last week when Trump's health care bill went down in flames, he was surrounded by enablers who all nodded when he said, I'm still bigly. It's Congress that got small. Trump has nothing but Maxes around him. Did you know that Devin Nunes once defended Trump by saying, I think a lot of things he says, you guys sometimes take literally. Excuse me? We shouldn't take the President of the United States literally? Right, he's a poet. When he nukes Finland, it's a metaphor. Super Christian Mike Pence, seen here cringing from an air kiss because you don't know how far syphilis can jump. Mike Pence conveniently forgot the famous line from the Bible, "Thou shalt not grabbeth thy pussy." When he gave Trump the cover he needed to survive Pussygate, as did Christian Jeff Sessions, who, when asked if he thought uninvited groping was sexual assault, said, "I don't know, it's not clear how that would occur." Sure, Jeff, it really depends on the circumstance. Like, for example, if you saw a pussy about to fall off a cliff, you'd want to be able to grab it without political correctness getting in the way. Enablers Sean Spicer and Kellyanne Conway are the West Wing's flowers in the attic. A lunatic locked them up, and now they're crazy, too.
This was the largest audience to ever witness an inauguration, period, both in person and around the globe.
Well, that's pretty good ass-kissing, but Rince Priebus, you could do better, can't you?
Well, I think the president's 100% correct, and he hits the bullseye in that tweet like he often does.
Exactly. Because who can picture Trump and not think accuracy in tweeting? And have you seen this psycho, who will not only blindly repeat anything Trump says, no matter how crazy?
We know for a fact you have massive numbers of non-citizens registered to vote in this country.
But is such an ass licker, he licks the ass of people who lick Trump's ass.
I do want to say that Sean Spicer, as always, is 100% correct, and that what he said is true and important, and I agree with it.
You know, without these professional liars and deniers, there's no Trump. It takes a village to help a man-child stay in power. And the excuse, "I'm just doing my job," is starting to sound an awful lot like, "I was just following orders." All right, that's our show.
I think Bill Maher's analogy that Donald Trump is a lot like Norma Desmond from Sunset Boulevard is right on target, right on target. He is a drama queen that everybody bows down to, and everyone enables him. Everyone around him in the White House enables Donald Trump and makes him the Norma Desmond. And it's not... What was the line that Bill used, you know, in Sunset Boulevard? It's not the movies that got small. It's not I who got small. It's the movies who got small. And Trump's take is that the entire world is small, and he's the only big person in it, the only big cheese. He is a pretty big cheese. And here at Savina Veritas, we like to grate American cheese again. And we are doing that every Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific time and 11 p.m. Eastern time, 148.ca/1, 148.ca/1. The CA stands for Canada. Hail Canada, thank you for allowing Savina Veritas to be aired censor-free, commercial-free. And you can hear this program and all episodes of Savina Veritas 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicedtalk.com, juicedtalk.com. I want to thank Dee, the artist Dee, and Frank Atolo for being my enablers. And Frank Atolo, of course, is on right before me and 148.ca/1. And on every Thursday evening, but he's also 24/7 available on Juice Talk, as well as the artist D and Anne Marie and others on the Too Cool for School website, juicetalk.com. So people around Trump are enablers, but he has someone who is more than an enabler, who is kind of feeding him this toxic information that is destroying America, the Democratic Republic as we knew it, and the world as we knew it. And that person is Stephen Miller. Samantha Bee has a wonderful, wonderful spot on Stephen Miller. Let's hear it.
I am Samantha Bee. Welcome to Full Frontal. Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. This week, the federal government got drunk on dysfunction, passed out, and had a three-day lost weekend. Oh, man, you should see how many federal employees I almost fucked. And after the biggest political crisis in days, politicians had one important question. Whose fault was it?
Good morning, and welcome to the Trump shutdown.
We are now engaged in a Schumer shutdown.
This is the Trump shutdown.
My favorite is still the Schumer shutdown.
Why do women get blamed for everything? This shutdown passed quickly, but it only gets worse from here. A much uglier fight over immigration is going to play out in the coming weeks. Why has governing ground to a halt over protections for Dreamers that 86% of Americans support? Believe it or not, the answer isn't entirely Trump. I mean, don't get me wrong, POTUS, seen here asking Drew Barrymore if she likes scary movies. Hates him, some immigrants, but his specific policy proposals are as empty as his Oval Office desk. Those come from his senior policy advisor and political smallpox blanket, Stephen Miller. You know, the guy who nagged the Statue of Liberty.
The Statue of Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Doesn't say anything about speaking English or being able to be a computer programmer.
The poem that you're referring to that was added later, it's not actually part of the original Statue of Liberty.
Oh, you should be nice to Lady Liberty. She's the only woman who will ever let you inside her. So, what's the problem with Stephen Miller, besides the fact that his skull looks like it's trying to escape his head? I'm glad you asked. DACA isn't just some bleeding heart liberal idea. A lot of conservatives want to help Dreamers too. In fact, Lindsey Graham and Dick Durbin spearheaded a bipartisan immigration compromise. Trump had his Sharpie poised to sign up, but when they got to the White House to talk about it, there was a surprise waiting for them.
The aide to Dick Durbin said, Senator Graham and Durbin expected to have a meeting. They showed up and there's this, quote, anti-immigrant cast of characters there, and that was obviously designed by Stephen Miller to try to kill the deal.
As long as Stephen Miller is in charge of negotiating immigration, we're going nowhere. He's been an outlier for years.
Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm falling behind my speed walking group. Wait up for me, Connie! That's right. This isn't the Trump shutdown or the Schumer shutdown. It's the Stephen Miller shutdown. Miller is Trump's immigration guy, and in the Trump White House, that is a powerful position. It's like the same level of power as the guy who was Bill Clinton's trim coordinator. So who is this enterprising slime mold on the wonder bread of democracy? Where did he come from? Is he just 10,000 spiders who really made a commitment? Stephen Miller was born in sunny California, where I assume his first words were, sick burns. As early as middle school, Miller reportedly broke off a childhood friendship because the friend was Latino. Wow. Even I wouldn't have hung out with Stephen Miller in school, and I was desperate for new members of my Anne Murray fan club. By high school, Miller was a practiced right-wing provocateur appearing on conservative talk radio and running for class president on a platform of screw janitors.
Am I the only one who is sick and tired of being told to pick up my trash? And we have plenty of janitors who are paid to do it for us.
What happened to him? Did a janitor once accidentally buff his forehead? Miller also wrote a very chill op-ed for his high school paper called A Time to Kill, which scolded his fellow students for believing that Islam could be peaceful, telling them millions of radical Muslims would celebrate your death. Reminds me of my 10th grade essay, Millions of Radical Muslims Would Celebrate Me Joining Bananarama. I was so confident of what Muslims thought of me. After high school, Miller fled liberal California for Duke University, presumably because he thought it was founded by David. There he was captain of Duke's competitive balding team and found his niche at the college newspaper, where he had a regular column in which he railed against feminism, multiculturalism, immigration, liberal professors, the war on Christmas, and once again, janitors. He published a screed against giving the dorm janitor a birthday card. Okay, you know what, buddy? I'm getting the feeling that you think janitors are an ethnic group. They didn't all float here in a dinghy from Janitoruguay. Miller's right-wing media fame helped propel him to the office door of Alabama Senator Jeff Sessions. As a Sessions staffer, Miller was instrumental in helping to kill the 2014 immigration bill. Then in January 2016, Trump hired Miller and made him his opener at rallies, where he'd do a tight 17 minutes on how every Hispanic immigrant is going to steal your job and kill your daughter, and every Muslim is a terrorist.
We're going to build that wall so our kids don't have to worry anymore about unsafe communities.
How many children are dead because of our sanctuary cities? How many moms are grieving because of our sanctuary cities?
We've seen example after example in the Somali refugee program of individuals becoming radicalized and joining terrorist groups.
They say he's too tough on crime, and he's too tough on illegal immigration, and he's too tough on radical Islamist refugees.
Congrats to Stephen Miller for being the first person in history ever to utter the phrase radical Islamist refugees. And congrats to me for being the first person in history to die of douche chills. After their act did so well on the road, Trump brought Miller to the White House as his senior policy advisor and secretary of foreheads, where he's been intimately involved in crafting Trump's scariest messages and creepiest positions, from the attempted Muslim ban to the refusal to reauthorize DACA. Stephen Miller is a real American success story. He worked hard and stayed true to himself and achieved his dreams. He is the exact same racist asshole he's been since childhood. But now he has the president's ear and the power to ruin thousands of people's lives. I really have a bone to pick with the guy who wrote Never Change in his yearbook. Schumer and McConnell better figure out a way to separate him from Trump before they're asked to pass the janitor immigration bill of 2018. We'll be right back.
You hear about Trump?
Hobie didn't know what Trump's pitch was going to be. He was sure of one thing. It was going to cost the people of Talpa.
Be careful, son. I can sue you.
He's a ass mother asshole.
Thank you.
He is a nut, and he should be... He's certifiably insane, and he has compromised this country, and it is tantamount to treason what he just did. And why are we not doing anything about it? Why is it taking so long? What the f*** is going on in this country?
Tonight is the State of the Union, and the only thing that Donald Trump is likely to prove this evening is that he has the ability to read a scripted speech from a teleprompter. So before some pundits start tripping over themselves to go out and declare that tonight was the night that Donald Trump magically became president, I thought we'd take a quick minute and remind everybody who Donald Trump is unscripted. First, unscripted Donald Trump is someone who regularly takes to Twitter to taunt people, call people names, and risk throwing us into a nuclear war. Next, Donald Trump unscripted is someone who refers to large swaths of the world as shitholes. Finally, Donald Trump unscripted is someone who attacks regularly immigrants, women, veterans, Gold Star families, people with disabilities, POWs. I could go on and on and on. So when you're looking for that perfect adjective to describe the president tonight following the State of the Union, let me give you a tip. Why don't you start with reckless, irresponsible, and dangerous?
You use your tongue prettier than a $20 whore.
This is Tom Savino from Southern California, and of course, being in Southern California, I'm one of them libtard snowflakes who used to shop at Whole Foods. And I don't shop at Whole Foods anymore since it was bought by that company that makes the whole world a jungle, Amazon. Amazon ripped me off, but Amazon, whether they ripped me off or not, I wouldn't shop at Whole Foods anymore because it was bought by this massive corporation. And there was a time when Whole Foods and other stores like it were catered to the individual, the customers, and the people who work there. But this report comes in now. This is reported from Grub Street, is the name of the website, which is a news organization about food, I think. And this is written by Clint Rainey, or reported by Clint Rainey. It's reportedly becoming, quote, normal to see Whole Foods employees cry at work.
There's no crying in baseball!
The militaristic, the quote, militaristic new inventory system at Whole Foods is still making customers grumpy, but they can be happy that it's not their job to restock the employee shelves. Employees tell Business Insider that on their end, the situation is bad. The new system reportedly hinges on a framework of chastisement, quote, chastisement, punishment, and retribution, end quote, to ensure compliance. And they argue that staff morale has been worn to a nub.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Here's the situation. For months, shoppers have been sore over the empty shelves problem. I guess Amazon apparently hadn't yet implemented their delivery of food by drone.
I'm going to have to science the shit out of this.
So customers were sore that the shelves were empty. The cause is reportedly something called order to shelf, or OTS, or OATS. Now, many of these employees are testifying under OATS. That Whole Foods is, this is their new way of handling inventory that supposedly saves money by reducing backstock, but which employees hate because it gives them no moments rest all day. OATS protocol covers how all products get stored and displayed, and to make sure that workers comply, Whole Foods has created scorecards. A look at the actual form, the scorecard, shows 17 criteria for judging employees, accounting for things like whether floor items have the correct signage and if paperwork contains certain cover sheets. Managers are then asked to do walks to see how well workers follow instructions. These can apparently get sort of tense.
I can't listen to any more of this. What's the matter with you people?
Besides checking if items are even an inch outside of pre-designated spots, the walks also involved, quote, on-the-spot quizzes in which employees are asked to recite their department's sales goals, top-selling items, previous week's sales, and other information.
I don't know!
Is this your final answer?
Any scorecard grade below 89.9% is considered failing. Man, wow. Imagine if we had such a card for the Trump administration, for the White House staff. I don't think 89.9 would even be approached.
My feelings exactly.
This quote from one West Coast store supervisor seems to sum things up. Quote, I wake up in the middle of the night from nightmares about maps and inventory, and when regional leadership is going to come in and see one thing wrong and fail the team. The stress has created such tense working environment, seeing someone cry at work is becoming normal, end quote.
Oh, that's a shame.
This, I believe, is also the standard at the White House. Same thing.
Be careful, son, I can sue you.
This is affecting the whole country. Now Whole Foods, bought by Amazon. Amazon bought it. I guess it is, the food industry is a jungle. It's a corporate jungle. And finally, according to the report, oats is also hurting employees' turnover, either causing firing,
bing, bing, bong,
or making people so fed up that they quit.
It's never ending, your bullshit.
Quote, we've lost team leaders, store team leaders, executive coordinators.
Try getting it out. Go ahead.
And even regional vice presidents, according to an employee in Georgia. The exodus definitely isn't helped by the fact that many workers also feel that both Whole Foods corporate office in Austin and Amazon, quote, still don't understand how oats works themselves, end quote.
I don't know!
Well, yes, it is a jungle out there, and Amazon is spreading this jungle in all areas, even now getting into healthcare. How are they going to deliver that? By drone as well.
Brilliant!
But I'm droning on here at Sabina Veritas. Let's get into the song about the jungle, Corporados.
Corporado, counting your dollars and cents, you've left us your stenches, you claim our sweet flowers, you've got a hard one for enticing and teasing, deluding. Of coal as diamonds, boy, you cheat us 'cause you're able, even ending lives to cover all your bets. Now it seems to me five justices are bridled in your stable, rigging races for your favors and your jets. Corporado, you keep collecting the younger and creating their hunger. You fill on your own, they buy your freedom. Yeah, you make them think that they're talking, but it's your words that they're forking over. The
well, that does. does it, everyone. That does it for Savino Veritas. Savino Veritas live from Burbank, California. Be with us again next Thursday and every Thursday and 24/7 on the Too Cool for School website, juicetalk.com. But be with us live Thursdays, 8 p.m. Pacific time, 11 p.m. Eastern time at 148.ca/1SRN1 from Canada. Thank you, Canada. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Remember, I may be joking, but I'm never kidding. Peace.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds. You say that.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
No, you say that, Governor.
What?
Meeting is adjourned.
It is?
The end.
By George, he's got it. It is the end.
No, that'll be all. Just be sure to lock the door behind you on your way out. Good night.